Good morning, sir. Could you please state your full name and your ADC number for us for the record?
Mark Allen Bowden, 099226.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Bowden. So you're appearing before the Board of the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. I'm going to introduce you to the board members conducting your hearing this morning. To my far left is the Honorable Luis Quinones. Coming down the line is the Honorable David Neal. To my immediate left is the Honorable Mrs. Gail Rittenhouse. Sir, my name is Michael Johnson, and I am going to be your hearing lead this morning. So you are appearing before this board for a absolute discharge, regular parole, or home arrest. Is that your understanding, sir?
That's what I was told.
Okay. You're currently serving a life sentence for first-degree murder. You begin your sentence on July 31st of 1992. You became parole eligible on September 29th of 2017. Is that your understanding, sir?
Yes, I wasn't seen until February of last year.
Okay. Okay, sir, I don't see a current institutional progress report, but I do have an old institutional progress report that's dated January 29th of 2018, sir. And according to the institutional progress report, we do have one dated February of 2019. It says that you attempted to get approval to a halfway house in Arizona. However, that you have family support in Arizona via your stepmother, but she can't be released to her address due to the HLA rules. Is that right, sir?
Yeah, she lives in an HOA, and they don't allow felons.
Okay. So I see that you have taken some programming, but you've taken a limited amount of programming. Is there a reason why, sir?
I don't drink, I don't use alcohol, I've never been involved with gang activity, and I really don't have a temper. There's no programming that fits my criteria.
Okay. So you just chose not to take any programming?
I took Hazleton for Design Living and four others, I forget what they are now.
Okay.
But they were mandatory. The programming criteria of the department has changed. And because I'm not what they determine to be a at-risk inmate, they don't assign me any programming.
Okay. All right, well, so I see that your last citation that you ticket that you actually received, you did receive one in 2010, but you were found not guilty, so I'm not going to even go to that one. But the last one prior to that was in March of 2009 was for some type of possession or nuisance. Do you recall what that was about, sir?
Well, I've been having problems with my memory, so
okay.
I really couldn't tell you. It was probably something that I just had laying on my table that they considered nuisance contraband.
All right, well, it was back in 2009, so it's been a while. Okay, so you did have a hearing before this board back in February of 2018, during which time you were denied parole at that time. Is that right? I think you did say it was in February when you came before this board.
I read the paperwork I got back this morning, and it was February 23rd.
The 21st, sir. Yes. Okay. All right, sir. According to the information that we have here, you did go to court and you were determined guilty by a jury verdict during a trial. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, according to the pre-sentence report that we have here, it says that a gentleman that was riding his dirt bike found a body of the victim, Denise Johnson. She was lying face down in the grass, totally naked except for a t-shirt. says that his shoelace was looped around her left ankle. It was noted that blood was present on her inner thighs and appeared to be coming from her vagina. Said blood was also coming from her mouth, nose, right ear. Rigor mortis was present in the victim's limbs, and her cheeks and lips and nose were very puffy. They did do a positive identification through fingerprints. Subsequently, there was a pager that was found there that belonged to a Earl Bogan, which was your father. And subsequently, the story goes that you picked up a female hitchhiker, you agreed to give her a ride, and said that you had straight sex with her. And then when she was getting out of the truck, she did a scoop and took your wallet and other property. You chased her, caught her, grabbed her by the hair, and spun her around, punched her in the cheek. She claims that she grabbed your bag, you pushed her to the ground, retrieved your wallet from her bag, and that this lady was definitely not a prostitute. However, you did, you know, get in a struggle with her and take your property back. And according to the information that I have, you denied having any further contact with her after she ran away. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. It says that the detective investigating talked to two of your former girlfriends, and they admitted engaging in sexual bonding experiences with you, and also discussed that you had a very violent temper. So, Mr. Bogan, why don't you explain to it to the board what occurred at during that period of time with this female?
I don't have any of the paperwork anymore, and like I explained last year, I had trouble even remembering Denise Johnson's name. You know, I got convicted of this. It was tragic. It was beyond understanding, and I live with it every day.
Okay. So you don't recall what happened, what with your interaction with her? You don't recall what the interaction with her was?
I would like to say I remember every indelible detail, and what she just read to me just, it compounds what I feel. This was beyond reason. It should have never happened.
Okay, So did it? Are you still maintaining your innocence and that you did not kill this young lady, or what?
Sure, I was convicted of this. I'll live with it, and I own up to the responsibilities of what happened. I just 2 days from now, I won't remember who sits on the board. I walk past people in this yard and can't remember their names.
Mm-hmm. So you have no recollection of what happened during the time that this incident occurred, sir?
I remember giving somebody a ride. I remember an altercation. I remember going home. You know, it's bits and pieces. 27 years has taken a toll on me. I'll have to own this one. You know, I have no choice.
So, Senator, you do have family here, is that right?
I have a stepmother.
Okay, you don't have any other family here in Arizona?
No, I requested last time to be paroled to Texas. I have family there. They want me to come home. I meet the criteria. My family has been established in the Fort Worth area for over 150 years.
Well, is there a reason why I didn't see any letters or anything in here from your family, sir?
My stepmother, she's not really proficient in English. I have limited contact with her. I had limited contact with her when I was living at home.
Okay.
You know, I moved out when I was 16.
Mm-hmm. So what about your family in Texas? Is there a reason why there's nothing in here from your family from Texas?
The only one that I talked to is my Aunt Hattie, and I talked to her, and she said that if she's contacted, she's more than happy to advise where I will be living, who I will be working with, and that I have family support, but she hasn't wrote any letters, no.
So have you put in for interstate contact or tried to look into it?
I went to the library and I read up on it, and the way I understand it is that I have to contact a parole liaison and put up a $200 transfer fee, but if I understand it correctly, you've got to be granted parole to get the permit, to get the liaison officer. I may be misunderstanding that.
Okay. Did you want something to stop
that?
Yes, sir, if I may, Michael Osborne, the board hearings officer. I currently am a supervisor at the Interstate Contact Unit. If you were within, say, 3 to 4 months of your, I say 3 months of your hearing, you can still request this, and it will be a $200 fee, but there's no guarantees of your parole. And my opinion would be that you should wait until your parole hearing and see how that turns out, what you're having today, before you put in for that. That way you're not wasting your money. But your CO3 would help you prepare for this. So you could ask them about the, and they would connect you with a CCL, which is CO3 that works for the Offender Information Unit. And they could help you with this process.
Well, there's a problem with that. They did the same thing this year that they did last year. They waited until almost 10 days prior to the hearing to tell me, you're gonna have a hearing. As a matter of fact, they gave me the notice last week.
Okay, well, sir, it's up to you to make the decision that you want to try to put in for interstate compact, and it's really up to you to make that decision. You know that, depending on what the board tells you, that within a year or 6 months that you'll be eligible for parole. So it's really on your responsibility to try to get that done, sir.
And the gentleman just said 3 months prior, I don't get but 2 or 3 weeks notice.
Okay.
They don't even tell me when I've been recertified for the board.
Well, that's something you may have to try to work out with your CO3 there at the prison, sir. That's not something that we have any control of here at the board. So, Mr. Bergman, what would you do if you were released? Tell me what this board, what you would do if you were released out on home arrest.
Get a job, become a member of the community again, go back to living my life.
Have you tried to look at any halfway houses, sir?
There were a few that were contacted for me, and apparently because I'm not a drug user, I don't have a violent past, I don't have an alcohol problem, I don't meet their criteria.
Well, that seems kind of strange that they don't want to take a good person, that you have to have a pass. But you need to work with your CO3 there, sir, to see what's available to you there. Let me ask you something, Mr. Bogan. Do you really want to get out of prison?
I would love to get out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I do the same thing in here that I did when I was on the outside. I eat, I sleep, I work. I read, I watch the news.
Uh-huh.
It's all I ever did outside this prison. It's what I do in here. You know, I looked into programming for the violent nature of my crime and the heinous and the cruelty factors and the loss of life to the victim. And I'm told that those are all sentencing factors and there's no programming for it. Do I go and sit in a bunch of alcohol and drug classes that I have nothing to relate?
Well, there's other programming that becomes available while you're there. I'm not sure what's available to you on your yard, but there is other programming that's there. People have not only taken other programming, but Also, you know, if they didn't have a GED, they've gotten their GED, and they had a high school.
I have an education.
Okay, well, then some have gone on to take college courses and done some different things, sir. So, Mr. Bogan, I'm going to see if the board has any additional questions for you. So, Mr. Quinones.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. 1 second. Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Can you hear me, Mr. Bogan?
Yes.
I have a question, and I will preface with that it's from a position of respect, because I don't know what's in your mind, and I don't want to make some sort of accusation. I just want to understand. Are you saying that you have some memory issues?
Well, like I said, I walk past people that have been locked up with me in here for 15, 20 years, and I walk away not being able to recall their name. You know, I sit and I read books over again that I know I've read 3 and 4 times and don't remember them. My stepmother has made me aware that, you know, my father had Parkinson's and Alzheimer's. My grandfather had it. A number of my family members. And she said that, you know, it's not that I'm losing my mind. It's that I'm going to end up having memory issues. You know, I walk into visitation one time and looked around and walked right past my father when he was alive 3 times. He had to stop me.
Well, I appreciate you explaining that. My concern is, in general, that when you hear a lot of interviews, especially with violent crimes, there's something I call the notorious gap, and that is there seems to be a lot of detail until it comes to the event itself, and all of a sudden there's a blank, and it sounds like you remember some of what happened on the night or the day or the time of the incident offense, but you don't have recall of the murder, or I know you were, it doesn't seem that you were charged with rape, but it seems like there's some sort of sexual event. It seems that you don't remember that happening. Is that correct?
I actually don't know what to respond to that.
No, it's not a trick, sir. I'm just saying, you don't, I'm just asking, do you or do you not remember what happened?
When I sit and I read the investigation report that I've got, I just sit and I shake my head. I can't believe that that was the person portrayed having done that. And I recall when I'm reading it, but I can't honestly say that I'm going to sit down and recall every detail of what happened. I would love to. You know, I'm convicted of this. I was found guilty of it. And I'm dealing with it every day. It's grinding into me. Yeah, I have to stand up and look at myself and say, you know, what the hell happened?
Well, thank you for your response, Mr. Bogan.
All right, so I don't see any additional questions coming before the board. We're coming up on a conclusion of your hearing, Mr. Bogan. Is there anything else you'd like to say to the board before we go into discussion, sir?
You know, I know that I didn't come in here with a definite plan for release. I've asked for assistance, and the CO3 finally said, we'll have to look into that because of the problems I've had with contacts I have had. I do know that if the parole board contacts my aunt, which is a resident in Texas, she's more than willing to confirm acceptance that they put me on a plane, a train, or a bus, she'll be happy for me to come home.
Well, sir, you have to provide that information to the board. The board doesn't do that. We don't have your aunt's number, nor do we have a name or any information.
I gave all that information to the CO3.
Okay, well, you're going to have to go to the CO3 to make sure that we get that information. We don't have any of that information in the file, sir.
Yes, sir.
All right, sir, the board's going to go into a discussion. A lot of boards in discussion, sir. I'm going to ask you to stay on the phone, Mr. Brogan, so that you can hear the discussion taking place amongst the board. And then we'll make a decision at that time whether to deny or grant you parole, home arrest, or after you discharge a regular parole, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, the board's now going into a discussion when we've had the opportunity to speak with Mr. Brogan. We do have some information in there. He does have a minimal amount of history of tickets that he's received, and the entire time he's been in, I think he's only received two felony tickets that he actually received. He doesn't have a violent history. However, he was convicted of this crime. It was a very heinous crime that the victim was actually killed. Mr. Bowman states that originally when interviewed by the police, he denied the murder and did admit to picking up the victim and taking her. However, he had a struggle with her and he left, and now he doesn't recall much of the incident that actually occurred or what actually happened. He does have a poor release plan. I do also want to make note that we do have a letter in here from the Maricopa County Attorney's Office that is asking that the defendant not be granted parole at this time, and this letter is actually dated on February 13th of 2019. I want to make note of that, but based on the information that we're talking to Mr. Bogan, and the information that we have in the report, he does have a poor release plan. He says that he would like to go back to Texas, and he has family there. He has a stepmother who lives here in Arizona. However, the stepmother's ill and not able to do. We don't have any support letters or information on file, nor any letters from any halfway houses for him to actually stay at. So at this time, I don't see Mr. Bogan being eligible for absolute discharge, regular parole, or home arrest. That is my feeling. I'm willing to listen to the rest of the colleagues. Hearing nothing coming from the colleagues, I am going to make a motion at this time to deny Mr. Mark Bogan absolute discharge, regular parole, or home arrest. I'm going to also ask for a 1-year set-off since this incident did occur in 1992. The type of release denied is going to be a 412A, 411 home arrest. I'm going to mark the reasons for denials, that it was a serious and violent offense. I'm going to mark loss of human life. I'm also going to mark a serious and deviant offense because of the nature and the manner that the victim was killed and left out in the desert. I'm also going to mark that it was trauma to the victim by the injuries that she actually received. I'm going to also mark a poor no release plan, no family or community support. Those would be the reason for denial unless the board sees some other... Okay. Unless the board sees some other reasons for denial, those would be my motions, and those would be the reasons for denial. That would be my motion.
I'll second.
Agreed.
Motion by myself. Mm-hmm. Second by Ms. Woodhouse. Agreed, Mr. Cardenas, Mr. Mill. Okay, sir, the board is voting to revoke you, to deny you absolute discharge, regular parole, or home arrest at this time. We did ask for a 1-year set-off, sir. You will be eligible to come back before this board on or about a year from now. The Department of Correction will certify you when you're eligible to come back before this board, sir. Did you hear your reasons for denial, sir?
I understand them, and I don't know how to overcome the sentencing factors.
Okay, well, sir, there are some other issues that you have with your release plan, and those are some things that you need to to work on and give it to CO3 and work on, that's not necessarily mean that the board would make a different decision, but those are some things that the board thinks that you should at least work on, okay?
Well, other than the sentencing factors, I can address the rest of it.
All right, so we'll look forward to seeing you come back before this board in about a year when the Department of Corrections certifies you as the board.